This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. Great to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. It's fantastic to be with you. I tell you, as you can hear by my voice, I've got quite a good case of the flu. Hope to God it's not the swine flu, or even worse, of course, the bird flu. I tell you, the world is becoming a very interesting place, and part of the reasons why we have such a tremendous increase in epidemics is because of the fact that the world is a closer place, that we have so much more transportation between countries, communication, trade, and so forth, and it's kind of amazing, as well as immigration. Immigration has brought many unwelcome diseases to many countries, and I guess that's true from all races. Certainly Europeans brought a few to the New World, and we've gotten our share from the Orient and elsewhere in the world. But the avian flu that is only striking a few people right now has certainly a chance to mutate and form a tremendous epidemic. There's a lot of things going on in the world that might totally shake up this planet and shake up our society, our culture, our heritage, and certainly our economy. I know oil right now is going through the roof. I think it topped new highs. Gasoline is now going for somewhere around $2.80 or more a gallon. Some places $3 a gallon, and that's not premium, ladies and gentlemen. And it's certainly in direct response to our policies in the Middle East, which are causing tremendous disruption in the region. And I think long term, it's also a response to the globalism that we've been pursuing in the United States and around the world for so long. We have not been content simply to have our own nations industrialize. We wanted to create so-called global markets, and in the process, we're putting tremendous strains on the natural resources of this globe. We're affecting the ozone level. We're affecting the pollution levels. I do believe that there is global warming. I'm sorry to some of my conservative listeners, and I'm certainly a conservative as well, but I do believe global warming is a reality. If you look at the computer maps, it's pretty amazing, the shrinkage of the ice caps and even the ice levels in Antarctica. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen, and it only makes sense. We have tremendous amount of carbon emissions going out all over the world. Civilization and modern technology has come to many, many corners of the world. I've got a couple of interesting things for you to talk about today. And I tell you, I always watch. I do some Google news alerts. I don't know if you ever do that, but you can put any topic that you want, which is kind of interesting. You can put the term in, say, Jewish supremacism, and you can get all the articles that include that term, Jewish supremacism. You can put a term in Jewish racism. You can put a term in immigration, whatever you want. Or you can put David Duke in there, or Don Black, or whatever else you'd like. And they monitor a great number of publications and give you the opportunity to, to actually, so you can personalize your news, and you can get a lot of news you wouldn't otherwise receive. Well, I've been getting a number of mentions in a publication called Kebab Fest. I don't exactly know what this blog is, but it is on the Google News services, and I think it's very much of a I don't know what kind of site this is, but it is a strange site, and I'd like to give you a couple quotes from it. I think you'll find it very interesting. It's just kind of strange, but anyway. This is an article, and I think it's kind of a site set up by the Jewish supremacists, actually. It's supposed to be a site supposedly for Arabs, but it's not. And the name of the article is Judas Saves. Judas Saves. You probably heard about the new Gospel of Judas that historians have uncovered in the Middle East. Of course, we don't know. You know, there were certainly lots of so-called Gospels floating around, and lots of accounts, and lots of people who wrote their own accounts during that period of time. Well, we found apparently researchers and archaeologists have found, and they've pieced together a lot of original script of a gospel of, believe it or not, of Judas. It's pretty amazing. But here's what the article says, and it's kind of interesting. Christians of the world received an unexpected gift this Easter, the uncovering of a 1,700-year-old piece of shoddy papyrus that are apparently the Gospel of Judas. In a dramatic turn of events that makes Da Vinci Code look realistic, interesting, and meaningful, it seems Jesus asked Judas, his assistant apparently, to turn him into the Romans so that he would be able to die on the cross, be resurrected, atone for our sins, save humanity, and so on. The foundations of Christian anti-Semitism have been shaken to their roots. It seems there is no reason for Christians to continue to vilify Jews. In fact, they should thank them, for Judas was only following the orders of his best buddy in order to save all the rest of humanity. Christopher Hitchens explains that Judas' gospel would make one huge difference if it was accepted. It would dispel the centuries of anti-Semitic paranoia that were among the chief accompaniments of the Easter celebration until approximately 30 years after 1945, when the Vatican finally acquitted the Jews of the charge of Christ-killing. But if Jesus had been acting consistently and seeking a trusted companion who could facilitate his necessary martyrdom, then all the mental and moral garbage about the Jewish frame-up of the Redeemer goes straight over the side. Christopher Hitchens, that's another guy who's also one of these people who's attacked David Irving and many other people for a long time. Well, first of all, let me go ahead and continue the article before I make some comments. But K-Bob's chief Christian fundamentalism correspondent, Chaim Sugarman, reports growing confusion among the ranks of the rabid faithful who are looking for someone new at which to direct thousands of years of blind anti-Jew hatred. Unconfirmed reports have suggested Muslims will come off the bench to top off David Duke's to hate list. Well, there I come in there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to know they're not ignoring me. So now the Christians will stop hating Jews and anti-Semitism will die. Would it by any chance be possible to end this whole Zionism BS and allow Palestinians to return to a homeland where immigration and citizenship are not dependent on whatever religion they believe in? What this affair exposes is the danger and futility of basing real-life decisions, particularly political ones, on religion, any religion. With every new archaeological and historical discovery redefining Christianity, it would really be wise for people not to live their lives according to millennia-old shards of papyrus, I should say. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of interesting, the whole issue. Well, first off, let's deal with the anti-Semitism being based as anti-Semitism from the Bible. Well, there's no question the fact that New Testament shows a lot of resentment toward the Jewish power structure. And Jesus Christ showed a lot of resentment toward the Jewish power structure. He refers to the Pharisees quite often as a synagogue of Satan. In the New Testament it says the Jews killed the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets, and God's wrath has come upon them at last. It goes very much, in fact, there's a very common line in the New Testament saying that for fear of the Jews. And there's a famous, one of the famous quotes is, and no one spake of him, Christ, for fear of the Jews. And I guess that's true today of a lot of people, not just Jesus. Anybody who dares to stand up to some of the Jewish supremacist power and the extremist power, and again, it's not all Jews. In fact, in this broadcast, I'm going to talk about a very interesting Jewish website, which is the Masada 2000. It's a interesting website, and it's very revealing. They have an honor roll, so to speak, a reverse honor roll, of the most, what they consider to be the most shameful Jews in the world, but very many intelligent and leading Jewish voices who condemn Zionism and Jewish extremism in, actually, with probably more vigor than I do. This is kind of interesting. And they should know what Jewish extremism is a lot better than I. And they also point out, very frankly, that the Jewish supremacists are controlling our government, that the Jewish lobby and these major Jewish organizations are acting in the interest of Israel at the cost of the interest of the United States, including the Iraq War, which is so damaging the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm against the Iraq War, not because I'm some sort of a leftist peacenik. Well, I do believe in peace, and I do believe that most of the wars, the major wars that we fought over the last 100 years or so, have been wars that should have been avoided, could have been avoided, and our people, our heritage, and the world would have been much better off if those wars had not have been fought. First World War was certainly insane. I think the Second World War could have been avoided, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and certainly both the Iraq wars. These wars have killed a lot of good Americans and many others. They have certainly cost huge amounts of money and resources back home that could have certainly been better spent. And more recently, these wars have very, very damaged America in the eyes of the world. And it's leading to a so-called clash of civilizations in a situation where Americans will be in danger wherever they go in the world. And this is, of course, happening right now. And Americans certainly have to take a lot of precautions today when they travel. I do a lot of traveling, and I tell you, you've got to be careful. You're carrying an American passport, you never know when that might be a death warrant. And there's no way the government of the United States can protect you. They have it difficult enough for the government. They couldn't really protect us much even in 9/11. It's hard enough for them to protect us back home. But overseas, it's just literally almost impossible to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we have a situation with the Iraq War where we've had thousands of Americans now dead, tens of thousands wounded or maimed or crippled or emasculated or burned, disfigured. They'll have scars and they'll have pain that will last the rest of their lives, and their pain will also certainly afflict their families and their loved ones. And economically, it will afflict America. These men have to be taken care of. Obviously, our government must take care of them to the fullest extent, to whatever they need. They gave their lives, they gave their legs, they gave their eyes, they gave even the way they look, even their appearance sometimes, their ability to see or to speak or to hear. They gave these for our country with a clear heart and a good mind. But our leaders have lied to us, and they've lied to those men. And it's the greatest betrayal that could possibly ever happen in the United States of America when they tell our boys that we're going to go over there because of weapons of mass destruction, and there are no weapons of mass destruction. They tell us they're going to go over there because, basically, with the impression that they're going to go over there because Saddam Hussein was supporting 9/11 terrorists, and of course, there's no evidence whatsoever that Saddam Hussein or Iraq had any sort of support for those kinds of terrorists. If anything, Iraq has become a terrorist training ground today. And even if the war ended tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, what would happen is certainly there's been so much training and so much hatred driven against our country by this war that we will face tremendous amounts of terrorism and danger for Americans in the future. It's a terrible thing. It's an anti-American war. From the beginning, it was a war for Israel, of course. Now, back to the article. First off, anti-Semitism historically has not simply been based on the Old Testament. That's the common thing, you know, the Christ deicide argument. But even Jewish writers who've written about the history of anti-Semitism, and by that's where most of the books you get on anti-Semitism are sourced. We have Jews, in fact, often very supremacist, extremist Jews, writing books to tell us about what anti-Semitism is and how basically the Europeans were always wrong and Jews were always right, and Europeans were so intolerant and Jews were always so decent, loving, and kind, even though they don't talk to us about the Talmud, and they don't tell us about how that in the Jewish Talmud they look at Gentiles almost like animals, and that's not an exaggeration, ladies and gentlemen, that they have the most hateful pronouncements against Christ. They say he's being boiled in semen, that Christians are boiled in excrement, or S-H-I-T. I mean, that's pretty tough, ladies and gentlemen. And they talk about Gentile land being like unclaimed land, the desert, that it's okay to cheat or rob or steal from a Gentile. I'm sorry about the fact that these things are in there. I wish they weren't. I wish that we wouldn't have this conflict raging between these Jewish extremists who have so much political and social and economic and press power and political power. But it does exist. Jewish supremacists does exist. Israel is a Jewish supremacist state, ladies and gentlemen. It's absolutely a Jewish supremacist state. And the biggest cause of so-called anti-Semitism over the years was not their aspect. I mean, people knew they had a different aspect of religion. It was, in fact, a lot of their conduct in terms of behaviors, which were often very reprehensible. As Martin Luther talks about, and he did a lexicon, actually, for organized crime and for the criminals, with criminal terms, and he points out that even back in the 16th century, 17th century, that organized crime, even then, most of the words they used for criminal behavior was from Yiddish words, because that's how often they were involved in the fencing of stolen goods and other sorts of criminal activity. When we talk about usury, we're not talking about simply charging some people money on interest. We're talking about what today we criminalize as loan sharking, exorbitant interest rates. When we talk about certain business practices today, and of course we've had the Enron scandal, we've had many other scandals across the United States of America, and we have people cornering the markets and controlling the markets, they've often been involved in this kind of thing, such as in Spain. I talk about that in Jewish supremacism. I talk about their role in the white slave trade and slavery in general. And if you read like articles in the Encyclopedia Britannica and other major articles, you can read how Jews controlled the slave trade. Always not, the most reputable of jobs, of most reputable of careers, most reputable of business enterprises, since basically from the time of Christ. And the excesses that went along with that, and white slavery, which is one of the worst forms of slavery and degradation one can imagine, forcing young women to do very degrading acts, and basically enslaved in an incredibly intolerable situation. You can read Bristow's books on history of prostitution, and you can see the incredible Jewish role in organizing this racket, and for instance, the shipping out of hundreds of thousands of poor peasants in Eastern Europe. This is 100 years ago, into the brothels in the Middle East and Caribbean and in the Americas, and so forth, promising them good jobs, and then they wouldn't get it. Today, the white slave trade, in fact, is controlled by that. It's even centered in Israel. And I can show you articles in the New York Times, the Village Voice, articles by Jews talking about this very fact. And the white slave trade is one of the worst kinds of abuses of humanity. The pornography racket, the popularizing of pornography, making it really in America the mainstream in our country. It's mainstream nowadays. And have you taken a look at what's on television these days, ladies and gentlemen, beamed into your living rooms? And this change has been almost entirely led, promoted, popularized, and defended in the media by our Jewish media masters, and who have changed the mores of America. But we can go in many different areas. This was the cause of a lot of the resentment toward Jews, the usury, the involvement in different kinds of organized criminal activities, the involvement. And of course, in recent times, at least since the latter part of the 19th century, and since, they were involved often in the communist revolutionary activities. And that's where terrorism really got its legs, ladies and gentlemen. And the Jewish terrorists of Europe, the communist Jewish terrorists, they invented the modern type of bombing and just general terror in terms of making a revolution. And they brought that terror to the Middle East, and they learned very well. A lot of the same communist murderers, interrogators, and terrorists of the Cheka in Russia were over in Israel, doing the same thing to the Arabs and driving the British out with terroristic types of activities, blowing up the King David Hotel, capturing British soldiers and torturing them. Well, anyway, I promised you to go to, as well, a Jewish website, and this is really going to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to getting this to you. And here it is. This is called Masada2000.org, and it's really an amazing site, and it's called Self-Hating and Our Israel Threatening List. And it's a list of it's almost all of Jews who basically, who have similar positions to what I have.
And like I say, they can talk about some of the problems with Jewish supremacism, and they, you know, it's hard for Gentiles to condemn them, but Jews themselves condemn them. You know, really, it's just amazing the things, some of the things they say. And I'm going to give a couple of quotes from this site. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. All right, let me go down. I got so many of them here. It's amazing, some of these quotes, and I think you're going to find this fascinating. All right. I'm on the site, in fact, right now, going down. All right, this is Arlene Ash. She's a research professor of medicine and public health at Boston University School of Medicine. And they're attacking, attacking her. And then we have, let's see, Gabriel Ash. Gabriel Ash was born in Romania, grew up in Israel, now resides in the United States, in which he heaves one poison dart after another at all of Israel. There's nothing that Israel can do right, not a single action, et cetera, et cetera. He says, listen to these quotes. As Ash itemizes endless accusations, he asks the question, at what point does an incursion become a slaughter? At what point a slaughter becomes a massacre? At what point a massacre becomes a genocide? Now, I want you to listen to these words by Gabriel Ash. He's talking about what's happening against the Palestinian people in Israel, a Jewish writer. And by the way, these words are excellent. It's almost poetic. Of course, it's a very grim subject, but the words are absolutely wonderfully crafted and powerful. Here's what he says. Quote, don't mumble about how difficult or complex the situation is. It isn't. You are the oppressor. You are the occupier. You park your tanks on plundered land. You fill your swimming pools with stolen water. You kill and destroy in order to inherit. So don't BS about the situation. Just get out. Stop abusing people. Stop abusing language. Stop spinning your own moral cocoon. Stop turning your country and your people into a metaphor of evil. Just get out. Take your rabid Jewish fundamentalists from Kiryat Arba and Bet El with you. Load them on buses and pump the gas pedal until the hills of the West Bank vanish in the rear mirror. Just get out. Gather your thugs from the borderless border police. Give them scholarships and send them to school again. Let them discover there is more to life than beating people to a pulp. Just get out. Let your hideous bulldozers loose on the illegal settlements of Male Adumim, Har Homa, and Gila. There is plenty of demolition work for them there. Let them continue until the mountain line bears no more memory of your rape. Just get out. What more is needed to show that Israel's defense policies are nothing but international terrorism? A nation that hallucinates the mustache of Adolf Hitler above the lips of every Palestinian man, woman, or child, and whose leaders manipulate its delirium to justify an endless and lawless war against civilians. Another excerpt. Many settlers also believe genocide is a legitimate way of dealing with the enemy. In all their forms, settlements are therefore something other than civilian habitations. They are actions at the front of the war of conquest. As you can hear, my pup is very excited about this broadcast. It's making a lot of sense. A settlement is an aggressive action in a postmodern war, a genocidal war. Anyway, that's some of it. Here's another little quote. Racist, supremacist, totalitarian, anti-humanist, anti-democratic, extremely violent. They sanction expansion, conquest, ethnic cleansing, murder, repression, and genocide. Unlike all offensive military operations, settlements trigger a defensive reaction, which Israel calls terrorism. Isn't that interesting? I mean, these are unbelievable, and it's going to be a great source of quotes for me. And it shows you that not only the fact that there are certainly some Jews that oppose Jewish supremacism, but it also shows you that my positions, you know, are not really that, you know, that unusual. Now, these are people who should know. These are people who lived in Israel, been in Israel, major Jewish leaders, writers, musicians, major people. Here's another one, a famous musician by the name of Galad Atzmon. He's an Israeli-born musician, and he's a very famous saxophone player, and he's very popular around the world. Now listen to this. I mean, this is wild. Okay, here's some quotes. This is directly from the Mossad 2000 website again on Zionism. Quote, Zionism is a very singular political method aimed at perfecting the transformation of world disasters and human pain into Jewish gain. Somehow, Zionists always volunteer to serve the colonial interests of any leading power. On Israel and Zionism as corruptors, America is about to lose its sovereignty. Now it looks as if Zionist lobbies control American foreign politics. After so many years of independence, the United States of America is becoming a remote colony of an apparently far greater state, the Jewish state. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is exactly, this is the first time I've read this gentleman's words. It's exactly what I was saying in so many editorials and so many speeches and so much of my writing, that we've lost our independence. That's why I call the latest paper by Walt and Mearsheimer, modern day Declaration of Independence, that we must be independent in America. Our government represents the interests of the American people, not some foreign state. I want to read that paragraph again to you. America is about to lose its sovereignty. It looks as if Zionist lobbies control American foreign politics. After so many years of independence, the United States of America is becoming a remote colony of an apparently far greater state, the Jewish state. The question to be asked is, who is going to protect the Americans from their motherland, Israel? It now appears that the emancipation of the Jewish people that led to the birth of Zionism, a racist colonialist national state, is now evolving into the very last phase, a sadistic manifestation. On reflection, it must be terrifying that such a small lobby from a tiny state is so eager to push the rest of the world into endless confrontation. Amazing. On the Israeli army and government, the elected Israeli government is there merely to provide the Israelis with Palestinian blood. They specialize in providing the Israeli public with a high Palestinian death rate. In tactical terms, they define it as power of deterrence, but in practice it's better articulated as sheer bloodthirstiness. And Israel's lack of morality and human compassion. Very much like their biblical ancestors, the Israelis like to see their enemy beaten to death. As terrifying as it sounds, the pain of others makes the Israelis cheerful. The concept of compassion is completely foreign to them. Israel is engaged in the daily bullying of the Palestinian people. When bullying gets boring, they go for the kill. When killing gets boring, they humiliate the dying Arafat. Israel is the narcissistic embodiment of any possible inhuman sense. It is a celebration of cruelty. And he said something very similar to the Iranian president. And the Iranian president was saying that he believed that because of the evil things that Israel does, that Israel would eventually pass away, that God's justice would make sure that Israel ceased to exist as a state and a new state would be created. Just as Israel created and ceased to, Israel destroyed the Palestinian community. So he believes that Israel will be destroyed. Now the Iranian president did not say that he was going to destroy it, but he said he believed that that was the future. In fact, evangelical Christians today believe that that is the future. But again, the press converts everything and perverts and just completely subverts everything to serve whatever end they want to, whatever they want to serve. Let's see. History teaches us that when sadistic narcissism reveals its face, the end should be anticipated. Israel's days are numbered. Oh boy. So I mean, this has literally hundreds of quotes of major individuals, Jewish writers, historians, educators, and so forth who are opposed to Jewish supremacism and extremism, just as I'm opposed to it. And they're ashamed of what's going on in the Jewish community, and they should be. And ladies and gentlemen, it's kind of amazing, isn't it, that even though these people are out there, how much of our mass media do we get in terms of these kinds of issues? And why is anybody who dares to talk about these issues, why is anybody who dares to do that is vilified as an anti-Semite? Are these people anti-Semites? These people who are Jews, who've always been Jews, have Jewish heritage, Jewish family, Jewish blood, Jewish tradition, Jewish religion? I don't think so. I think that they're simply people that understand that there's a radical strain within Judaism and within the Jewish community that is dangerous not only to the Gentiles and the Palestinians and all other people of the world, but also dangerous to Jews. And that's what results in these terrible reprisals and the so-called pogroms and the things like that that have happened in the past. You know, and it's pretty interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that isn't his one Rabbi Berger, Elmer Berger, and he says he contends, and they make fun of him. They say that he's an Elmer Fudd lookalike, and probably sound alike. This real nice website. The rabbi contends, quote, "The fusion of religion and politics in Israel has made coexistence impossible. Hence, ethnic cleansing and colonization have been endemic to the Zionist movement throughout of Israel's existence, no matter who was in power." So true. Yeah, so true. And in fact, let me tell you something too. There's very few of the people in the website that speak as strongly as the ones I have. But also, any Jew who dares simply not to go along with everything that Israel wants is considered a quote anti-Semite and a self-hating Jew. That's kind of interesting too. It's just like any Jew that had any, even has Sandy Berger in there, who did more for probably Israel than probably any other person in the administration of presidents. He's been in many different administrations, Republicans and Democrats, and yet, you know, what do we have going on? I mean, he's condemned in this site because he simply said there should be an agreement made. And there's many radical Jews. In fact, there's often radical Jews in the Likud movement who want Israel to leave the territories. Of course, after they stole a lot of land of it and they built the so-called wall, they call it a fence. It's actually a true wall. It's actually higher than the Berlin Wall, higher than the East German, West German Wall. And they build this wall. And again, the hypocrisy is just incredible. But anyway, they say, the reason why they want the separation, the reason they don't want to continue to occupy, because then there'll be pressure on them for a democracy, and they don't want to mix with the Palestinians. They're segregated. You know, Israel's a segregated state. They have a million or so Palestinians in Israel, but they don't mix with them. They basically go to separate schools. They basically live in separate areas and separate neighborhoods, and they're very controlled. With Israel, even though the percentage of Palestinians is much larger than there are blacks in the United States, there's no Palestinians that serve in high cabinet positions whatsoever in Israel. It is clearly a Jewish state. Here's one from Paul Bove. He says, this is another Jew, he said, "The Israeli and Palestinian peoples have equal rights to national self-determination." Now, what's so radical about that idea? I would think that's true, isn't it? He said, "Furthermore, the U.S. bears a special responsibility for the current tragic impasse by virtue of our massive economic and military support for the Israeli government, 500 per Israeli citizen per year. Our country has an extraordinary leverage on Israeli policy, if only our government would dare to use it. As American Jews who care deeply about the long-term security of Israel, we call on our government to make a continued aid conditional on the Israeli acceptance of an internationally agreed two-state settlement." You know, there you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's an interesting site for you. It's called Masada2000.org. I hope that you enjoyed the program today. I think you learned a few things. I've certainly enjoyed sharing these things with you. We've got a great site, davidduke.com, and I think this program is certainly one of the most interesting and educational programs on the web, and our audience is growing every day. Stormfront continues to reach more people, and the Town Hall has more and more people listening and to our programs and radio shows every day. Don Black's doing a great job. James Kelso is working very hard. And here's a little note from Patrick R., and this is on Stormfront right now. He says, make sure you listen to the last broadcast, everyone. It was a very good one. David Duke wrote a powerful letter to the FBI. Actually, that letter is going to be updated because a lot more things that are they're going to be going on with that letter. I've got a bunch of articles and a bunch of issues with Massali, so I hope to be posting that next couple of days. Right now, I've been very busy. And I'm telling you something. In Eastern Europe, my acceptance and the demand for me to speak has really grown at universities everywhere across Eastern Europe. It goes from one professor to another. It kind of jumps almost by symbiosis. It's just amazing that one professor will contact another professor and they'll say, yes, David Duke came and lectured. And another professor will contact them. And I've been doing a number of guest lectures and they continue to increase. And every time I speak, the students are very impressed. Often, even though it's a classroom setting, they break out in applause. They like what I'm saying. They're interested in what I'm saying. I don't want to tape, and I don't want to. People ask me, we ought to put this on tape and on audio. I said, I don't want to do that because it puts too much heat on the universities. It's better for me just to take it low key, to go in there and give my lectures, and that's the best way it's to be done. And I can guarantee you, I'm reaching many hundreds, thousands of young people and educating them on this issue. Well, that's about it. Thanks a lot, and I'll be with you tomorrow again. And that's the last one before the weekend. I've got the flu, but I'm here with you today, and I was determined to do this show anyway. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks. God bless, and take care, all of you.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.